Hello and welcome to Stop Hammer Time. My name's Phil Whelans and I'm joined as always by Jim Grant.
Good evening.
And joining us again for the first time this season, which surprises me because he was never present last season, he is broadcaster, speaker and general wrangler of the English language, Jeremy Nicholas.
Good evening. I've had a lot of hamstring trouble, but I'm back tonight.
You're back.
But,
you know,
your calves are not calves not too tight.
Calves not too tight.
They're a little bit tight, so I might need to be pulled off at half time.
As Harry Redknapp says.
Yeah.
Those of you that don't know, and you will, or if you live abroad, you will be discovering it if you have not listened to us before. Jeremy is also the match day announcer at Upton Park, the Academy of Football, which means that as part of the fabric of West Ham United, he is unable to dish the dirt in the way that Jim and I can freely. He occasionally has to toe the party line, but through a series of blinks and gestures, he will be able to give us scabrous information about the club, which we will relay, though not attribute to him.
Yeah, I'll be relentlessly positive. I think it's been a great season so far for the team currently lying bottom of the table.
You see, with his gestures, he's saying a lot of terrible stuff at the moment, isn't he?
No, I'm not saying anything bad at all.
Now, I happened accidentally to walk past the Emirates yesterday on my way back from the gym.
It can happen, can't it? Because some of those sat-nav things are very misleading, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Where did you think you were going?
I use sat-nav when I'm walking, generally, yes. I heard their match day announcer, which is, of course, at the Emirates is the Announcertron 3000, which at the time I walked past was going, game recommences in 15 seconds. You have 15 seconds to comply.
But they have a fault on their robot announcer, don't they, in that they haven't got it programmed yet to do the surnames. Only does the first names, doesn't it?
No, yes, exactly. Yeah. Samir is coming on. Who? Nasri, it says. Yeah. Arsene Wenger loves you. Please remain in your seats and keep quiet for the duration of the game. You have 11 seconds to comply. Merchandise available at halftime. Buy merchandise. Buy merchandise. Adebayor shirts 5% cheaper.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's good. I would never, ever do that thing that I think Arsenal, I think Chelsea might do it as well, where they just say the first name and then the crowd sing.
Oh, it's terrible.
I would never do that.
Cheesy load of rubbish.
For two reasons. One is it's rubbish, and two is that nobody would join. because West Ham fans would just laugh at me and think, there we are, look, Jeremy, we're not going to join in.
Later on in this podcast, we're going to very gently open the can of worms that is player songs. We might be remembering some old songs, but also discussing the possibility of new player songs, because Rob Chapman has contacted us on our Facebook group with the possibility of trying to instigate a few new songs at Upton Park, and we have theories about why there aren't songs anymore, don't we, Jim?
Do we?
The people get in their seats so late and people don't really practice.
That's the main reason,
because the singers used to practice for about three quarters of an hour before the game started.
On the North Bank, you'd get there and they'd come out, the players would come out sort of one at a time to warm up.
Yeah.
And they each would have their little anthem.
Every player would have a song, and now we don't. But so we're going to try and address that.
Now they're available as downloads.
Exactly.
Before the game, but because there's so many people there with their iPhones, they can't get a signal.
And illegal file sharing means that no one will pay the 79 pence for the player's song.
No.
That's overinflated players' songs costs.
For a lot of people, though, is their dream to start a song at West Ham?
Yeah. You've got to be really kind of courageous to try and be the first one to sing. Twist and Shout, it's sort of all right, because people follow, it's a bit like Pavlov's dog. People feel committed to kind of go.
Now, am I right in saying that was started when, as a response to opposing fans singing "You've Only Got One Song"? So there was I think that was a fanzine. I think that was an On the Terraces fanzine campaign to get that as an additional. I might be wrong about that. If anybody listening knows the story behind that.
It used to get sung a lot on the last day of the season, didn't it? And it was sung quite a lot away. But now it's sung at home.
The Okie Kokie is not come out recently,
Is
it? Even an away game, actually, where it used to regularly be a feature, hasn't come out.
Jim and I went to Birmingham at the weekend to watch them play Birmingham,
it went to the right place then.
Oh yeah, no, it was no
other teams in Birmingham.
Yeah,
we could have mistakenly got to see a Warsaw game, couldn't
exactly.
we? Easily,
yeah.
Warsaw's not in Birmingham,
well,
is it?
Near
it's
enough,
outside Birmingham. Really, in the sense that Villa
near
is.
Enough.
Or
yeah.
completely different place, isn't it?
Near enough.
You can find Warsaws in Poland, isn't it?
This podcast is sponsored by Collins, the British Motorway Atlas. So yes, we went there. In fact, Greg Stroud, who went with us, posted a picture of us up on... I don't know if it's on the... We have to get him to put it on the Hammer Time website. Because those of you who may be curious, those of you that live abroad, who wonder what me and Jim look like... Well, even people that live in the same town don't know what me and Jim look like.
There's actually a rare shot of the lesser-spotted sulky
teenager. Yeah. Though the other teen is
looking
far more...
She's lesser-spotted these days, because that cream she's putting on is working very well.
If she's listening to this, Jim, you're going to meet a stony silence when you return home.
Well, so what else is
she's new? Now got a farmer boyfriend.
She has got a farmer boyfriend.
He doesn't work in pharmaceuticals. He's a farmer.
Is he a proper farmer?
He's just passed his tractor test.
Yes.
So you're going to be run over in a tractor.
He's done his tractor test.
He's done his tractor test.
All very Mellors, isn't he?
It's all gone
a bit Lady Chatterley down your gaff, hasn't it?
Is it to drive a tractor, or is it knowledge of tractors?
No, driving one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about West Ham and their footballing ways. So we'll talk about songs a bit later.
I've got a quiz.
We've got emails. Jim's got a quiz for later.
Yeah. And of course, we'll be doing that tractor quiz as well.
I
know quite a lot about John Deere.
Who's John Deere? I know about Brian Deere.
John Deere is like the man who invented tractors.
Can you name a make of tractor?
Is he related to Brian Deere?
John Deere's
Can you name a make of tractor?
Yeah, loads of them.
Go on.
JBC.
They
do diggers, obviously.
Yeah, they do diggers.
And tractors.
Yeah.
And they do...
I used to be able to name a make of tractor, but I've forgotten his
John Deere. John Deere is the most famous maker of tractors.
Is he a slightly tubby inside left?
Yeah.
He's an American pioneer farmer who invented the tractors and pioneered the way that wheat is harvested.
We got an email, actually.
Or is that Brian Deere?
We got an email, and if you do have anything you'd like to say to us, and I think this email is apropos of the last few seconds of this podcast. James Longman says, "Hi guys, could you please make the first 15 minutes of your podcast the best part, please? For some reason, on the iPhone, if a call comes through, it resets the podcast, so I have to listen from the start again without any ability to forward on.
You should have read
I've
this
only
earlier.
Ever listened to
you
the first
poor
15
man.
Minutes. Yeah. If you consistently make the start excellent,
no, we've started
then I will
badly.
Feel I am missing out.
There's
then I will
never very little feel, chance yeah. of that. Well, yeah. we've missed so, an opportunity yes. this week. Then
well, that's
we,
why
really?
I brought that yeah, up, right, because okay. we spent a long
we started,
time talking yeah. about tracks.
We started bollocks. Very slowly, because I have to start slowly because of the hamstrings. Until I'm warmed up,
until
I can't use any
up,
of the
exactly.
good material at all.
If we had taken our chances, says Andrew Griffin, we would be well clear of the relegation zone. We need to start playing 90 minutes rather than 45 minutes. Get a goal scorer in January, a fox in the box, and stop a Binner shooting, and we will be fine.
He's not far wrong.
He's
absolutely right about the fox in the box. I think
someone from the Championship or even League One who's sticking them in.
Well, there's rumours about they're interested in Jamie Mackey at QPR.
Who
I think would be the right sort of signing.
Yeah,
there are others around who are free scoring at their level, which of course is no guarantee they're going to score goals at
as
Premier
we know
League.
From Freddie Sears.
Indeed,
because a player at the top of the Championship would definitely want to join the team at the bottom of the Premiership, wouldn't
he? Yeah, of course.
So that would be a good move for him.
Of course.
Sergei Knezovic.
Hang on, I might just have been a bit negative there, have I?
Yes, yes.
How's that happen?
Yeah. If Sugo were listening to this, you could be in massive,
by the way, and we also, we all remember David Kelly's inability to keep us up in 89 as well. He was billed as the big kind of lower league. He came from Walsall, interestingly enough.
Yes,
and, he does. Do you know where he is now?
He's at a shit team from Scotland somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah. He's the assistant manager at Nottingham Forest.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right.
And everyone calls him Ned. And actually, on a caption, and I wrote this caption because I hadn't interviewed him, but I was packaging the material up. And I put Ned Kelly, even though his name's David, because everyone calls him Ned. He has Ned on his jacket.
Yeah.
And he actually, sometimes, when he does the pre-match briefing, actually wears a Ned Kelly, like,
bucket
on his head.
On his head.
With eye holes.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Does
which
he?
Is. Yeah, which it's good for the photographers, but for us, the audio quality is awful.
Yeah. That's terrible. Mick Jagger played him in a film, didn't
he? Yeah, terrible Australian accent, wasn't
it? Sergei Knezovic says to us, "Gents, did Gianfranco Zola make a guest appearance as West Ham manager at Birmingham? At 2-0 up and cruising, who let him in to switch on the shit switch?" Nicely done, Sergei. "Last season we saw good leads turn into horrible draws." My girlfriend's got horrible drawers. She hasn't done a wash in a week, though. That ultimately led to our prolonged and fortunate struggle. The next two matches are our season. If we don't beat the Baggies and Blackpool, then I can only see us hanging around the bottom three for the rest of the season.
Sergei doesn't know that West Brom's nickname is Baggies, does he?
Well, evidently he does.
No, because the way you're reading it out, he doesn't have a very good command of the English language, unless it's just the way you're reading it. And then suddenly...
How dare you?
No, but he's about following leads into draws. I mean, it's not...
I'm a failed actor for a living.
They're not exactly the right words, are they? It's a bit like, you know, Magda the Cleaner on Lead Balloon, the way you're reading it out. And then suddenly Baggies comes in.
I read this perfectly adequately. Jim, you're head of English at one of England's best schools. I read that out perfectly well.
I thought it was faultless.
Yeah, it was.
Well, no, but that's fine. West Brom
has
three.
This has all gone horribly wrong.
West Brom, three nicknames. You don't need that many, do you?
No. No, that's true. You don't need that
many.
It's
far too many nicknames West Brom have got.
Have they?
Well, we've got two.
We've only got two, yeah.
The Irons and Hammers. What have the Baggies got?
Crap.
The Baggies?
Another one. Yeah. The Baggies? It's emerging.
What have the Baggies got?
Yeah, just Baggies three times.
Baggies, Throstles.
And Albion.
And the Albion, yeah.
Good. All right. So if you have views, please send them to hammertime@playbackmedia.co.uk. hammertime@playbackmedia.co.uk. You can get our app on bit.ly/West Ham app. And West Ham podcast will get you through to pretty much everything we do.
Did you do that from memory?
I did do it from memory. Yeah.
It is an easy
so we played at Birmingham at the weekend. Jim, we were there. An excellent start to the game was when the portion of crowd that we were in got into a kind of a sort of frank exchange of stares and views with a Birmingham fan that resulted in him being kicked out.
It was absolutely fantastic.
It was one man versus about 100 people who were all giving him an extremely hard time, and then the police slowly kind of walked down the aisle, got him and dragged him out of the ground. It was fantastic. It was like we achieved it by some kind of mental prowess of getting these policemen to go in and drag him out of the ground.
Birmingham have taken the dubious option of placing their family stand nearest to the away
to the
fan,
away fan
stand,
yeah.
Which is rather interesting because you get a lot of these very kind of leery 8-year olds standing on who seemed to have a false fat tummy for some reason.
The one with the yellow shirt.
A kind of sort of, you know, bum bag around the front.
The like one with a sort of yellow shirt. It's like, is that their away strip?
I don't know.
Yes, and he was quite leery. He took on the Cockney might of West Ham's away fans and came off quite second best.
He did.
Though, of course, bullying. This podcast does not condone the bullying of 11-year-old boys. But if they deserve it, knock yourself out, I think.
Yes. Was he 11, the person that got thrown out?
No, he was an adult. That was got thrown out. Once the adult had been thrown out, another bloke started shouting and gesturing at us. It was wonderful. Yes. But when the bloke got dragged out of the room, he went out with a sort of strange resignation, didn't he? Kind of, now I suppose you'd ought really. I have been acting up a bit. Drag me out there, beat me up. It'll be a typical Saturday for me. It's wonderful. Got another email. Oh, no, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the game first before emails.
How come you didn't do the Russian accent when it was Sergei? I think that would have added to it.
Do you hate Sergei? His email seems to have you...
I'm just thinking you did a lovely... You know, you
I'd forgotten my faultless Kovac.
I'd forgotten your RSC training, and then when you did the Birmingham accent, it was like being there. And I wondered why you hadn't done Moscow.
Very compelling. Well, I don't know that Sergei may well just live here.
Well, I don't think so.
Just have, you know, Eastern European parents. Sergei, contact us.
I thought you said he was Russian, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay. I might have.
You imagine that bit, Jim.
Maybe I've been what my dad would call racialist. Then
should we talk about the game that we played? Yeah. That game of football.
So, please do contact us with a description, with a full description of your ethnicity, just to please Jeremy.
Well, I think he is Russian. I think he is. I think I've met him.
I'm sorry about
this. Okay. It might be Ukrainian.
So we played Birmingham the weekend, and Sergei is absolutely right. We did squander a 2-goal lead in exactly the same way we did at Sunderland, and we didn't squander a two-goal lead, but against Fulham last season, they I think both those teams went down to 10 men. We were on the sort of we were on the front foot and managed to squander every opportunity to win that game, and it felt a bit like we did that at the weekend.
Yes, very similar to that Sunderland game in some respects, I think.
We didn't squander it though, did we? They just pushed hard and they got back into the game.
I mean, I said to Phil at halftime, you know, at some point something is going to luckily bounce off Ziggage's head and go, you know, either go in the goal or go to one of their players. So we were always, you know, you always felt we were in danger of conceding a goal. But we started, I mean, we dominated the first half, to be honest.
We did, yeah.
We played really well. A fantastic save from Foster to keep out what would have been a certain goal from Cole.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was missing was some decent shooting. We worked some really good positions, and then there were kind of powder puff pass backs to the goalkeeper.
That's right. We were just saying Time Out magazine, the London listings magazine for entertainments in London, bizarrely introduced West End, off West End, and off West End. And Obinna has single-handedly created the concept of on target, off target, and off target.
I'm keeping a little count now of the Obinna shots that have gone out for throw-ins this season.
Yeah,
it's now three, definitely. Yeah. He did hit one out quite brilliantly for a.
It was fantastic. It ended up. I think it actually went into the goal at the Hawthorns. It was so off target.
Yeah.
But you'd moan if they didn't have shots, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. At least we are having shots. At least
he
were
strikingly
creating space and chances.
Without, and no pun intended, sort of quite bad at it, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Given his range of skills and. Talents. His shooting is just execrable.
I was surprised at how poor they were in the first half.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If I'd have been a Birmingham fan, I'd been really disappointed. I thought they were absolutely lacklustre. They created nothing. We had, I think, it was nine shots on target or something in the first half. Although a lot of them, as we say, were passes. In the second half, we came out, you know, all guns blazing and went deservedly 2-0 up. The second goal was a great team effort, wasn't it?
Yes,
Park and Nick the ball. Nice kind of decent slide rule pass from Cole, who actually looked up for once and picked out a great run from Barami,
who
finished well.
Yeah.
You know, it was all the kind of things that a good football team does in scoring a goal.
Proper team. Yeah, yeah.
I thought Cole had a good game, had his best game of the season. You know, the ball stuck to him, he held it up, he did the kind of hub at the front of the team, led the line as you'd expect him to.
You
and the midfield were good, really good.
Yes, it was not bad, except we let two go.
Yeah,
we let,
it was,
you know, and we can't,
carelessness and lack of concentration.
We can't do that. You know, there's let me find this message. Ian Price says. He's quoting Avram Grant: over the last 2 months, we've shown that we deserve to be in the middle of the table, and we will be if we play like this. If we continue with the attitude and effort, then the points will come. I'm sick of this crap, says Ian. Same old flannel every week. You know what? I don't want to receive another email. Presumably those are those ones you get as a season ticket holder from either Sullivan or Gold or Avram. Telling us how we're going to be better next week. And, I mean,
I think I very eloquently replied to that. And I.
Oh, did you?
I did a comment.
But we should have won the game because we should have done. We should have got a free kick or at least, or maybe even a penalty right at the end when Lars
definitely.
Yeah.
We're
back.
No, you have to say we were also, as well as, you know, there were a couple of moments of kind of carelessness, as it were. You know, Green sort of knocking the ball straight out to Ridgewell for the second goal. Gabadon sort of ball watching, I think, a bit for the first one for them, but. Having said that, we were also a bit unlucky. If Obinna's shot had been, you know, 2 inches lower, it
hit
would have been 3-0 and really would have been game over, I think. And Parker definitely played the ball for the free kick that was given for the second goal. It was absolutely, it was right in front of us and it was clear as daylight. He definitely played the ball.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
second time. He did well against Newcastle like that he was booked for, having a beautifully timed tackle. It's really, really, must be so irritating as a
professional footballer to do something well
and end up, your team gets penalised for
it. He's got a sort of good little attitude though, doesn't he? Because he's just, you see there's just this pained expression on his face that disappears and he just gets stuck in, you know, just carries on. Because he's just brilliant. Got to accept it. He doesn't sulk. He knows they're wrong. He knows he timed the tackle perfectly, but he just carries on.
Yeah.
I found your reply. So Ian, I'm fed up with hearing this stuff. And Jim, you say... You're an idiot. You're a fucking idiot. And your mum is too. I slept with your mum. Your mum's an idiot. You're all idiots. That's an eloquent answer. Jimmy's head of English at a 7-8 school.
Done well.
Of course, Jim didn't say that. He said, you're right there, Ian. The corner has to be turned somewhere soon, or else we're stuffed. And I mean, I think that's what we're seeing is quite a lot, is unfortunately a sort of similar situation to last season where we're sort of playing well and losing. And the you simply cannot kind of look back at every game and go, we played well, we'll turn a corner next week, because we all run out of games that way.
Yeah, it's the succession, it's the mounting up of things, isn't it? You know, we said after the game that actually, you know, from time to time you would actually, as an away performance, the way we dominated the game, the fact that we, you know, in the end we did carelessly give away the lead, but you know, on balance, you can accept that in the context of a kind of normal season where you're winning a few games, losing a few games. You can't keep not winning games where you're the better team, and unfortunately,
also,
that is happening. I mean, that home game against Bolton is the other really standout example. For 45 minutes, we played them off the park. The game should have been over at half time. It should have been 3 or 4-0. Noble should have taken that bloody penalty.
But Bolton, look where they are now. They've been top five. And Newcastle, who we lost to, and we're going, oh, we lost to Newcastle. They beat Arsenal.
Yes. Yeah, well, the result against Newcastle has been placed in context by their last two results.
But equally, we could reach a point where you could say that about every team, and there could be 19 teams better than us, and we just go down, you know. I mean, Newcastle have been playing very well, but we have to win those games rather than just go, well, there's 19 teams better than us in the league, and just go down with a whimper.
Yeah. So I don't think there's any chance of us going down at all. I think we're doing all right, really. I think we're just not having the run of the green. I think we've had a few bad refereeing decisions against us. We've come against some teams in form. And I think, you know, we're doing a lot better on the field than we were this time last year. It's just that last year there were some rubbish teams like Hull and Portsmouth.
That's true.
The
results aren't coming though. I mean, in the end, they have to start coming. I mean,
but I agree. Performance-wise,
absolutely,
you're happy.
I do agree. Yeah.
Right. If you look at the stats, we're in a bit of a mess.
I do.
But
agree.
Performance-wise, I'm happier than I was last year.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and I agree with that.
I agree too. But we could easily run out of games. Mm.
And you say there's no chance of us going down. We are bottom of the table after, you know.
Well,
getting on for a third of the season.
There is a chance, but I don't.
And we have to score more than a point a game between now and the end of the season to stay up. And we have not done that over quite a long period of time now.
No.
Yeah. You're going back over 18 months. We have not scored a point a game. Mm.
As we said on our way back to London after that game, the positives to be drawn from that game were 2 goals from open play, because we're finding it hard to score
good goals. Bless him, Urbina was, you know, one of those little runs that he does across the box where he actually had a shot that looked as though it was going to go in for once.
Very strangely.
But lovely pass from Bowmorte for the picky on goal.
Yeah, he's done that
good
a couple
finish,
of times.
You know, on the run, first time.
Picky on's class, isn't he? He's a class
player.
Yeah,
very good. We looked like
Cole seems to. There's only a run of 2 games, but it would seem that, especially since he scored in the Newcastle game, he's now kind of. It's conceivable that he might be an ever present, and we go with a 4-3-3 with him in every game. But as I said about the Newcastle game, Piquion saw less of the ball when Cole was part of the leading line, and that seemed bad. Of course, what slightly kind of dilutes that argument is that Cole scored the goal against Newcastle, but in a game that we still lost. And I think you need to get your form players on the ball, and he is getting it a third less when there are one extra person.
But isn't it nice to have a few options? I mean, there was a time, sort of about 18 months ago, when if Carlton Cole was injured, we'd think, well, what are we going to do?
Of course, yeah.
Carlton's injured.
Yeah.
Now, if Carlton's injured, we've got Freddie, we've got Victor.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. And I also say, I mean, Jakobsen has been, he's had one sort of poorish game, I think, against Newcastle, really.
Yeah.
But apart from that, he's been really consistent.
Well, he's really growing into it, isn't he?
He's really beginning to kind of sort of get forward effectively as well.
It sort of annoys me that, I mean, well, he's the sort of, in a way, the one player that we've bought in the last kind of few years that just, without any argument or with any without any questions, went straight into the team at the position he was supposed to play. Players like sort of Savio, Jimenez, all those players that kind of, we buy them for money rather than loaning them out, but somehow they're not ready. They can't go in yet. And when you're as strapped for cash as we are claiming to be, and I'm sure we are, you have to buy players that can go straight in.
Well,
they've got to go straight in.
Why do you say that? Like
this sort of,
we are claiming to be there might be some nest egg or something that someone's got stashed away.
I mean, is Winston Reid an odd signing in that?
Exactly.
The light of that comment.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. I mean, Barrera. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'd like to see him get a run in the team because you said the other day, Jim, that he's growing into his role, but then he won't grow if he's just not picked.
Well, in that game against Stoke, he did. He had a like the whole of the team didn't have a very distinguished first half. But as the game went on, and as Stoke got less interested in actually bothering to go through, and a bit tired, and he got a bit of space opened up for him. He started to look really good. He's certainly quick.
Yeah,
and he's tricksy on the ball. He just is a little bit, perhaps, you know, he's got to get used to the rough and tumble of the. Of the Premier League,
but he's not going to get used to it if he doesn't get.
No,
picked.
he's got to get in there
problem,
and mix it.
You know? And I think I think
I think he should be playing.
Yeah,
really
he was part of a really good Mexico team, and I think there's a sort of slight fear of some kind of fragility that means he, he's not going to sort of play his full role in the game. But you've just got to,
he was great.
Mexico, they're kind of shooting each other every week over. Botched drug deals. I'm sure Barrera's probably got a kind of like a bit of a sort of steely edge to him. Otherwise, we wouldn't get in that national team. But there is a slight feeling that he's kind of lightweight. I'm making a joke for a comic effect. Yeah. I'm not saying that all Mexican footballers are drug dealers.
Yeah, no, we can dub a bit of laughter on it. It'll work. We can use that. Sample that.
Now that's got a bit sinister.
Yeah, he is the quickest player in the club, though.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think he should be picked.
I tell you who's quick, especially when he's been substituted. Fallon Barami. Have you noticed when he comes off?
He gets off the field, doesn't he?
I've never seen a player come off so quickly.
They have a supermodel in the dressing room.
He does actually run off like the players used to run off on like FIFA football. You know, they always, when you substitute someone, they actually they never trudge off, do they, reluctantly. They always just run off. And he does do that. He's like a computer sort of anime.
Do you like FIFA football?
No, I don't.
I've never played it.
I got made to play it a lot a few years ago.
Very good stadium announcer on it.
The son of a friend who always wanted someone to play.
I'm sorry, no, I don't like to talk about it. Yes, no, since FIFA 06, I have been the voice of the FIFA games, yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Jim, you have a quiz.
I've got a quiz. Do you want to do the quiz?
Yes, because I don't want to talk about FIFA.
It's a West Ham hat trick. Quiz. I thought I'd be positive. I thought I'd think of let's think about times where we've scored lots of goals.
Right, okay.
Players who've scored goals
wearing hats.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so question number one of this Hammers hat trick.
Are we on buzzers or at all? Or
what you have to do, listening to this podcast, obviously, is pause the podcast on your iPod or on your car stereo.
Or look away now, as it were.
Yeah.
Go make a cup of tea.
Exactly.
Oh, then you won't hear the question.
No, the answer. You can't. You have to. If you're listening to this with headphones, making the cup of tea will be.
Yeah. Huh. Question one. Which two Hammers have scored double hat-tricks? 6 goals in a game.
Well, like Sid Puddyfat.
No, not Sid Puddyfat. The other one.
Hurst,
absolutely. Against Sunderland in 1968, yes.
Right. He's the other one, because you always think of Hurst and Puddyfat, don't you?
Club's record scorer, the other one.
Greaves. Not Greaves.
you've sort of momentarily transferred yourself to the Spurs podcast.
Sorry, I blurted Greaves out.
Is it Watson? Vic Watson.
Vic Watson. Vic Watson. Okay.
When you said Paddy Fat, the other one, I thought, well, that'll be Vic Watson. And you said Jeff Hurst, and I thought, well, they weren't even probably alive at the same time, were they?
Vic Watson and Jeff Hurst would.
No, I just blurted out Jeff Hurst.
Vic Watson's double hat-trick was against Leeds United in 1929.
Okay. Ooh. So is it points shared there?
Yeah, points shared there. One all. Always getting competitive.
I am.
Question two.
Can I play my joker?
Who was the last West Ham player to score 4 goals in a single game?
Paolo Di Canio.
And he did it twice in the same calendar year, actually, although there were different seasons.
4 in the same game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. David Cross.
I bet Mike knows it. It must be David Cross is the answer at Spurs in 1981, but he also did it at Grimsby in 1981 as well. Good.
Psycho.
Did I say David Cross?
Yeah, you did say
that. Yeah, you did.
Oh, David Cross. Yeah, yeah, I might have dreamt it, but
I suppose I should have given you a chance to answer that, Phil, but there you go.
Jem got the answer straight away.
The next hat-trick of questions... let's see what I did there. I'll give you the team, the year, and the minutes in which the hat trick was scored. You tell me the scorer. So we've got Nottingham Forest, 1992, 60th minute, 81st minute, 85th minute.
And this is a hat trick.
It's a hat trick.
McAvenny.
What do you reckon?
Cotty.
It's McAvenny. It was his last game for the club.
Yeah. As we know, slightly it's slightly advantageous for us because we discussed this with him on this very podcast.
We did. Okay, next one is 1994. Manchester City. It was a home game. 6th minute, 9th minute, 57th minute.
94. God, not Morley. Latter years of Morley.
That's a good shout.
Latter years.
I don't know. Rossigna.
That one is Cotty.
Cotty.
That one is Cotty in his second manifestation
for the club.
Yes. The last one, tricky one. This one, 1997. Sheffield Wednesday, the opposition, 5-13, and in the 89th minute, a hat trick.
97.
God, are they own goals?
Di Canio.
97.
This was a season where we did well to stay up.
Yes,
did well to stay up.
But we did well because we bought two players in that.
Right, one of these.
Jem. Yes. I am going to. It's either Hartson or Kitson.
Yes,
I am going to guess.
He's going to go Hartson, and it is Kitson. Is he?
That's what I was.
No, I don't know. I'm just.
That's what I was just thinking. I've
had my shot, so I'm just trying to put you off.
So it's against Wednesday. And
I'm just dancing behind the goal now.
5-1 victory.
Oh God. Go Hartson, go on. Go Hartson.
Kitson hit the ground running better in that season.
But Hartson.
Kitson.
It's Paul Kitson.
Hey!
Tried to put
he
you
did,
off.
He did, he did.
Because Hartson took a while to get going.
Yeah. He was joint leading scorer that season with Julian Dix.
Biffa Dix.
Biffa Dix.
Took the penalties, didn't he?
Et cetera. Question six. Who both scored League Cup hat tricks in 1997
League Cup hat tricks
in the same year, so still the not the same season. It was the following season.
Is it still the Hartson Kitson combo then?
Well, it might be
two players.
Kitson. There are two players. Yes, they both scored hat tricks.
96-97
97 season. It was the 97-98 season.
Right,
Ian Wright.
Not Ian Wright.
So, just say the question again.
Yeah, League Cup hat tricks. Two players in 1997. But it was the 97-98 season, the season after Kitson scored his hat-trick.
Right, and definitely one of them's got to be Hartson.
Hartson is one of them.
Because really
Hartson
is
one of them.
Trevor Sinclair.
Good call.
Early Lampard, I'm going to say.
Lampard is the answer. Yes, absolutely, Lampard.
Because that's early Lampard, I reckon.
Okay. Who scored... the very last, the most recent hat trick for West Ham in any competition for first team.
A while ago. The most recent hat-trick.
Most recent hat-trick. Do you want to know the opposition in the...
Yes. Yes.
The opposition was Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. And the minutes were 38, 49 and 70.
Why would that help at all, 90 minutes?
I don't know. But Wimbledon was the opposition.
DiCanio.
Wimbledon. So that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Never scored a hat-trick for West Ham.
The last West Ham hat-trick was against Wimbledon, because there hasn't been a team called Wimbledon for many, many years, has there?
Well, it must have been when we were down.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be someone in the lower league. So let's say it was Marlon Harewood.
Not Marlon Harewood, it was Matty Etherington.
Etherington's got a hat-trick. Oh!
Yes, he did.
Yes. Okay. Nicely done.
Two more questions, two or three more questions. In the 1985-86 season, only one player scored a West Ham hat-trick. Who was it?
Sorry, say that again.
In the 85-86 season, we scored lots of goals, Cotty. Came third. Only one West Ham player, not Cotty.
Oh.
It's an interesting hat-trick, because it's got something kind of like, it's one of those kind of quiz question hat-tricks. There's something very odd about
Tony Gale. It's Alvin Martin.
Alvin Martin
against Newcastle against three different goalkeepers.
Yes, yes,
one of which was Peter Beardsley.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd had a guess though.
I'd had three guesses, and one of them was right. So it's my point.
Yeah,
no, it's my point.
Is it your point? Okay.
Because
no, because it's the Graham Poll rule. You hold three cards up, but I never got sent off.
The last question. He scored a hat trick of hat tricks in 1987, and scored West Ham's last FA Cup hat-trick. Who is he?
In 1987?
He scored a hat-trick. Yeah, the last West Ham FA Cup hat-trick was in 1985.
It was in 1987.
In the 1987, scored three hat-tricks.
I'd always guess
86-87 season.
I'll say Cotty.
It was indeed.
It
Tony
was
Cotty.
Yeah. Ah.
That's what we need.
Right.
A kind of player who will actually score more than one goal in a game.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well done.
That's
well done, Jim.
Quiz.
There's excellent quiz. There's excellent quiz. There's the first quiz we've had since your excellent manager's quotes about players quiz, which was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, we'll make it a more regular sort of
for
feature.
Me, the interesting stat from that was that the last West Ham hat-trick was against Wimbledon,
a now
defunct team.
It's really worrying, isn't it?
Absolutely, a team that doesn't even exist anymore.
I thought it was against the Royal Engineers or the Wanderers.
Old Carthusians.
but it wasn't Bradford Park Avenue. I thought it was against. No.
Absolutely, I can't find the Rob Chapman email about the song. He was
it's
talking
on Facebook,
about.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I just can't find it. I'm sort of scrolling through the screen.
All right.
We should. Well, we're actually. How long have we done? We've done about 37 minutes. Maybe we should save songs about players for next week. I've come up
we
with a couple
do.
Of
we
little. Okay, well, I'll
probably
do
ditties.
I'll do.
Why don't you do one of yours to just inspire listeners to perhaps come up with some of their own?
Okay, well, let me see. We were talking about trying to kind of come up with songs for new players, and I jotted down Obinna, and I'm going to sing it for you. Obinna takes it all. The victor gets the ball. If he was in China, he couldn't hit the wall. Obinna does it.
That's very good.
Obinna takes it all.
That's very good.
Could do that.
It's quite good that he's named Victor as well, which means winner.
Exactly.
So it not only rhymes with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's in the lyrics of the ABBA song as well. I think it is something like the winner takes it all, the victor, or
the loser has to
set it.
The loser has to fall.
Something the victor might get said in it.
Standing
tall. The victor standing tall. So. So
like
Zigic. Got a couple. Well, from Blame It on the Boogie I've got two for Blame It. I'll do them both. Let's do them both now.
Yeah.
I've got Don't Blame It on the Ashton. Don't Blame It on the Food Tray. Don't Blame It on the Beecham. Just Blame It on the Boogers.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And also from the same song, Carlton Cole.
That would be very encouraging, wouldn't it, for the current players as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. From the same song, from Blame It on the Boogie, for Carlton Cole, I've got, he just can't control the ball. He just can't.
So
I would prefer positive songs, I think.
No, I know, I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
That's a sort of cruel little.
Yes.
Yeah.
Picky on would be a sort of a thing to. You've got to go with the syllables of the kind of player, haven't you? That's the kind
simple
of
simple is always best, isn't it?
the Winter Wonderland song can only really exist with a one da 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 sort of. Yeah.
You Paul know. Kitson used to sing it from. There's only one. So they used to stretch the
yeah.
Paul.
Tony Cotty was the first time I remember hearing it about West Ham with only one Tony Cotty. Walking along, singing a song. Of course, I think probably our best song. A lot of songs about past players come out at away games as a way of passing time. And his name is Ludo Miklosko. He comes from near Moscow. He's playing in goal for West Ham.
We were speculating earlier on the pub, actually, whether or not where Ludo actually comes from is possibly nearer to London than Moscow.
Which is Ostrava in the Czech Republic.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And he's nowhere near Moscow.
But that's a hilarious that we were just saying earlier. That's a very amusing thing about West Ham fans is their willful pretense at misunderstanding the geography
but
of the area.
If you try and interrupt
team.
One of those chants with a geographic heckle,
Won't have it.
You get no thanks.
They
no.
won't have it.
No.
Nothing. That's possibly why that Birmingham fan was ejected from the ground.
He was probably trying to point out that
he was a geography teacher, not by the look of him, but he was probably a geography teacher. We should probably wrap this up though. So songs for current players. As we were talking earlier about getting in the ground 3/4 of an hour before the game started, and the crowd would practice songs about teams. I certainly remember.
Band practice.
It was like practice, wasn't it? Each player had a song. There was a Colin Fozzie takes no, Georgie Paris takes no shit.
You'll never beat the Fozzie.
Every single, and those are both quite, you know, Colin Fozzie was quite a fringe player for West Ham in the kind of great scheme of things. He had his own song, and that happens a little bit less now.
It's a shame in a way.
And so if you can think of songs for current West Ham players or ones for past West Ham players, do contact us at hammertime@playbackmedia.co.uk. Get our app at bit.ly/West Ham map. And you can get to through all of our various means of contacting us through West Ham podcast.
Quick predictions for West Brom.
Oh yes, we've got to do that.
I predict they'll come up with another nickname and it will go above the legal limit of 4 nicknames.
And be docked points.
Be docked points for
that. Yeah, I think
points
so, yeah.
For
that. The legal nickname thing. And
too many nicknames.
They're almost above the celebrity fan limit as well with 2, aren't they, for out-of-towners?
We've got loads of
We've got loads, but they've got 2, and out of London that's one more.
Frank Skinner and Adrian Charles.
They're the only two.
We're using the term celebrity loosely there.
Very loosely.
Yeah. I think that we'll win it by a 2-0, Victor Obinna. With an on-target shot.
Do you think he might actually score?
I think so, yeah.
Nice.
Well, he'll score if we get more balls on the pitch. And that's the way I think
he'll score if we just widen the goal.
Widen the goal?
Or actually, controversially, put the goals on the sidelines of the pitch instead of on the end.
Right, yeah. That would be a change.
If we just left those goals where they, you know, those goals where they kind of practice,
where they practice, leave those goals
up.
Put some more goals out on the pitch.
You're very harsh. I think he tries hard.
He's great.
No, we like him.
We love him.
We love him. We love
him. West Ham fans have taken him to their heart.
I hate to hear what you say about the ones you don't like.
We're just being amused by the fact that he's got the highest number of shots for goal for no goals for any Premier League. He's had over 30 shots at goal and he's not scored one yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that he has a shot. That's what I think.
No, I agree. Yeah. It's but you've got to be
like
amused
him.
By his failure to hit the target.
You've got to like him.
We need a
you've
positive stadium. That's what Alan Pardew always used to tell me.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
A positive stadium with a 50-50 male-female split is what Alan Pardew wanted.
I think they've had a good start to the season. Slightly slipping. I think we've got to get behind them. We must win this.
Yes.
2-0
got to.
Lions.
I think we're going to win the next
2-0, you reckon? 2-0. 1-0?
I think 1-0, and I think we'll beat Blackpool, and then we'll wonder what all the problem was about.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I can't go for what you went for, so I'm going to have to say 2-1 to the Irons.
Yeah, we're positive though, aren't we?
We are positive.
Still upbeat.
Yep. 2 goals from open play at the weekend was a good.
It really was.
And I think he should reward that team by picking them again. But be prepared to bring Barrera on and Dyer. Because I think those players can make a difference. Yeah. So there we go. So we'll see you back here, same place, which is on your iPhone or iPod or computer, same time. Not the same time. We'll see you at a different place, same device for listening to
doesn't
this.
Doesn't matter what time, does it? No, that's the beauty of the podcast. You can absolutely. Sit whenever you want. You could be on the toilet listening.
It's the most egalitarian form of listening to anything.
Curiously, we are all on the toilet now as we're doing this.
Yes. And it's the middle of the night.
Yeah. It is, exactly. In a bunker. All right, we'll see you next time. We have been Jim Grant.
Oh, goodbye.
I caught you drinking.
I was mid gulp, I'm sorry.
Jim Nicholas.
Jeremy Nicholas, yes.
You like to be called Jem.
Yeah, Jem, but not Jem Nicholas. That doesn't work. You've got the n sound, doesn't work. Jeremy Nicholas or Jem, but not Jem Nicholas.
This is the worst goodbye to listeners that's ever been done in the history of podcast.
It's all about branding. It's important. People get your name
very
wrong.
Very important, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jeremy Nicholas.
And right. Philip Whelan.
Let's try that again.
Jeremy Nicholas, pedant. Pedant and broadcaster.
It's important, it's your name, isn't it?
Broadcaster, Fusspot.
Polyglot.
No, it's tricky. When I ring home, my dad calls me Jem, my mum's calling me Jeremy, and I have to wait to see
mothers
who answers
that,
the phone.
Don't they? Mothers
to
do say
who
it is.
You can't say that when they do that you don't know who you're ringing, because you've dialed the number.
I know, but I have to wait. I have to wait till I hear who answers before I announce who I am.
Yeah. But mothers have a habit of using your full name, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
That's okay. True, yeah. So we'll see you next time with a group of strangely named people on this show.
Good wrap-up, Phil. Nice tight ending.
Brilliant. Nicely brilliant. Yeah. Smooth,
we can fix that in post-production.
Yeah.
See you, everyone, and come on, you irons!
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at westhampodcast.com. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on this podcast, please call our marketing partners Sports Revolution on 0207 580 2850 or drop them a line at info@sportsrevolution.co.uk.